Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. As he fights a recall campaign to oust him from office, there's some good news for Governor Gavin Newsom in a new poll that's out today. With more, here's KQED politics reporter Katie Orr.
The Berkeley IGS poll finds just 36% of California voters support recalling Newsom. That number hasn't changed since the January survey. 49% say they'll vote no on the recall. Poll director Mark DiCamillo says interest in the recall is breaking along party lines.
More than twice as many Republicans as Democrats or no party preference voters say they are have high interest in the recall. So it's not yet generating a huge amount of interest among the broad electorate.
DiCamillo says none of the leading Republicans running to replace Newsom are generating much support. However, 48% of Democrats say they'd like to see another Democrat on the ballot in case Newsom is recalled, something Newsom so far opposes. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
All schools within the Los Angeles Unified School District have reopened, but the vast majority of students haven't returned to classrooms. The latest numbers from the district show that only 7% of high school students, 12% of middle schoolers, and 30% of kids in elementary school are back in classrooms. Here's LA Unified Superintendent Austin Buettner.
While we've worked tirelessly to reopen schools, many students aren't yet back in school classrooms. And sadly, as we noted earlier, we see the greatest reluctance for children to be back in schools from families who live in some of the highest needs communities we serve.
A recent report from education news website EdSource found that at the end of last month, about 55% of all public school students in the state were still doing only distance learning. With more than 90% of California experiencing extreme drought conditions, Governor Gavin Newsom is expanding a state drought emergency from just 2 to 41 counties. KQED climate reporter Ezra David Romero explains.
The new drought proclamation represents 30% of the state's population and now includes counties within the Klamath River, Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, and Tulare Lake watershed. This is in addition to an emergency declaration last month for Sonoma and Mendocino counties. Newsom says the decision was made because of high temperatures and below average snowmelt. He said conditions were already so dry that snowmelt didn't run down rivers, but instead seeped into parched soil.
The equivalent of 1 million households receiving water for a year. That's just in the last number of weeks.
The proclamation could prevent farms from pulling water from rivers, and in the Central Valley, it would allow emergency water supplies to be trucked to communities that ran out of water in the last drought. The order doesn't include mandatory conservation measures, but water-saving tactics for urban dwellers could come if the drought progresses into a third year. For the California Report, I'm Ezra David Romero.
And that drought announcement from Newsom came as part of a bigger picture look at his revised budget plans. Newsom is proposing more than $5 billion in new rental relief funding to help people who have struggled during the pandemic.
Our desire, our plan to double the rental assistance in the state of California with the goal of getting 100% of all the back rent paid and provide 100% support over the next few months to renters that have been directly impacted by this pandemic.
The California Apartment Association, which represents landlords in the state, applauded the governor's announcement, saying many of its members haven't been paid during the pandemic and that this will finally allow them some relief. Tenant advocates also backed the plan, calling it a game changer for families who have struggled with rent payments. An additional $2 billion is being proposed to help people pay down utility and water bills. The governor will announce his revised budget this Friday.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to turn to utilities and fire. In recent years, Pacific Gas and Electric Company has sparked many of California's deadliest wildfires, including a series of fires that hit the North Bay in 2017. The next year, PG&E caused the Camp Fire, which killed at least 85 people and destroyed the town of Paradise. And last year's Zog Fire in Shasta County killed 3 people. So, how well is PG&E preparing for this summer's fire season, which could be the hottest and most dangerous yet? My California Report co-host Lily Jamali talked about that with Mark Albert, a reporter for KRCB in Santa Rosa. Hey, Lily.
Hi, Saul. In recent weeks, our California newsroom has created a map of power lines that the California Public Utilities Commission and PG&E think are at great risk of starting a fire. The highest risk areas include the North Bay and the Sierra foothills outside of Sacramento. This map is quite scary to look at, but if you email us at fires@kqed.org, you can see what this means in your area. Let's bring in KRCB's Mark Albert, who drove a portion of what's on the map. And Mark, what were you looking for when you went out?
We were looking for violations of the law. As you know, power lines cannot have foliage within 4 feet of any power line. Trees also cannot be within 10 feet of a power pole, and branches on any tree within 20 feet have to be limbed up 8 feet off the ground. Now, PG&E is going around addressing these issues, but I have to tell you, it wasn't that hard to find places where the work wasn't getting done.
And we should note the law applies to mostly rural areas that are under state and not federal responsibility. Mark, tell us more about what you saw when you went out.
Well, I saw oak trees encompassing, just surrounding, hugging power poles. I saw redwood foliage growing right up to the power lines, branches that may be within the area that needs to be cleared, hanging above power lines, and branches not trimmed up 8 feet off the ground either in some places.
And you and your colleagues reached out to an independent fire expert and to PG&E. What did they tell you when they saw the photos you brought back?
Well, the fire expert was very, very concerned. And however, PG&E said there was no problem there. And I was contacted by Cal Fire law enforcement that wanted to know the locations, refused to provide a comment, said they would not tell us when they would be out there to do their inspection or any vegetation removal if they decided to do any. All they said was go out a week from now and see if there's anything different. And if there is, you might be able to assume that maybe there was a hazard. Now, that's not necessarily a journalistic truth there, but I went out on Monday morning and I saw quite a bit of evidence that they had been through and they had cleaned up some of those issues.
Wow. So you have PG&E telling you initially this is no problem, but later they went out and cleared the vegetation from the line you found.
That's correct.
And I think what's also really striking is that you were told that this utility pole with the tree wrapped around it was actually exempt from state regulations. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Now, PG&E says that that line or that pole is exempt from the rules because it is either completely sealed or liquid filled under some sort of definition under the Public Utilities Commission rules. Now, I wasn't sure what that meant. I contacted the Public Utilities Commission on Thursday and asked them what a liquid-filled power line or power pole looks like because it just looked like an ordinary pole to me. They said they'd look into it and get back to me. And again, that was Thursday. I haven't heard from them.
Thanks, Mark. Again, listeners can get the map that shows the most dangerous parts of PG&E territory by emailing us at fires@kqed.org. That way you can see Mark's photos, and we also want to see your photos. If you're concerned with the safety of power lines in your area, take a picture and email it along with the location where you took it to fires@kqed.org. Saul?
Thanks, Lily. That was the California Report's Lily Jamali with KRCB reporter Mark Albert. California has a new attorney general, Rob Bonta. He was picked by Governor Newsom for the job and confirmed by the legislature after Javier Becerra moved on to a cabinet position in the Biden administration. Some things to know about Bonta. Before becoming attorney general, he served in the state assembly representing Oakland. And Bonta is a progressive and has championed criminal justice reforms like ending cash bail. The 48-year-old Yale grad is also the first Filipino-American to serve as the state's attorney general. The California Report talked to Bonta about some of the issues he'll face in his new job and what he hopes to accomplish.
Being the people's attorney and working to right historic wrongs and fight injustice and help people. And it takes a lot of forms, but the general frame that I have is helping and fighting for the little guy. And that includes things like making sure that multinational corporations are not hurting families, or that folks in our criminal justice system aren't being treated unfairly and are given a second chance when they deserve one. And in this moment, making sure that our community, that the API community that's under assault, is supported and that perpetrators of hate are held accountable and victims are assisted to heal.
So if those are the big ideals you stand for, what specific policy steps do you want to take in your job as California's attorney general?
It'll include efforts and initiatives and deliberate and intentional acts to address hate through the different levers that the California Attorney General has. It will include actions against polluters who are hurting communities that live at the intersection of pollution and poverty. It will include implementing AB 1506, a bill that I co-authored that provides that the Attorney General shall conducts outside thorough investigations of officer-involved shootings that result in the death of an unarmed Californian. And it will take the form of other efforts to protect consumers and generally making sure that folks are following the law. So that's what I'm setting out to do. That's what I've told people I'm going to do. And that's what I expect to be reviewed based on.
As you just brought up, one big issue you're going to be confronting as attorney general is officer-involved shootings. Under California legislation known as AB 1506, your office has the responsibility to investigate police shootings that result in the death of civilians. So what are you going to be doing to make sure that more lives can be saved when things go very wrong between police officers and members of the public?
Right now, I think we're really in a place where in too many places, in too many ways, for too many reasons, trust between our communities and law enforcement has been lost. And you can't have trust without accountability. And it's important that we have a system of accountability when transgressions have been made and the law has been violated. And so it's my intent to stand up an officer-involved shooting division in the Attorney General's office pursuant to AB 1506 that will be a model for the rest of the nation, that will do it right and do it well and be thorough and impartial and fair and comprehensive in every investigation that we're involved with, so that California, the person being investigated, the individuals, the family members who are mourning because they've lost a loved one, all have faith and trust in that system, that we stand up.
Mr. Attorney General, I'd like to turn to another issue involving police and public safety, and that's been this noticeable spike in homicides in California in recent months. The city of Los Angeles, for instance, reported 92 homicides in the first quarter of this year versus 63 over the same period of time last year. San Diego County is reporting a 35% increase in homicides there. And recently in Oakland, a city I know you know very well, there was a recent period of time when there were 6 homicides in 6 days in the city. What do you think is going on here, and what can you do about it?
I think the general trend for crime in California is that it's at a historical low. And we do need to be observant of data in whatever period it's in and keep an eye on it, because behind the data, of course, are real lives of folks who have been hurt or harmed, and someone needs to be held accountable, and there needs to be justice. So we're keeping an eye on what's happening all throughout California. You know, certainly my values of pursuing opportunity and equity and justice and inclusion are also consistent, very consistent with pursuing safety for Californians. They are not mutually exclusive, and we can and must do both. So as Attorney General, the fight of Californians will be my fight, and I'll take care of Californians.
Let's turn to the national scene in your office. Your predecessor, Javier Becerra, was really well known for going toe-to-toe with the Trump administration. He filed or participated in more than 100 lawsuits against the administration. Of course, now with Joe Biden in office, we have an administration in D.C. that sees much more eye-to-eye with California on all manner of issues. Do you think that'll give you an opportunity to kind of refocus the energies and the attention of your office?
I think so. I think Attorney General Becerra, now Secretary Becerra, fought fiercely for California, our people, our values, and our natural resources in a time when many of those things too often were under full frontal assault from the Trump administration. Now, with the Biden-Harris administration, we will seek and I believe find opportunities to find common ground, collaborate, to take action consistent with our shared values. And instead of an outward-facing administration that is required to protect California against an external threat, we'll be focusing more inward on the threats within California where entities and people are hurting, you know, everyday folks in California. So it's a different orientation. And it does allow me in the new role to focus on other ways and other entities that are hurting Californians contrary to the law.
All right. That is California's new Attorney General, Rob Bonta. Attorney General, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Saul.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, May 11th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thank you so much for listening and talk tomorrow.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working together to create a just world where all people have access to renewable energy, clean air and water, and healthy food, on the web at theschmidt.org. The law firm Perkins Coie, a trusted legal advisor to innovative companies and industry leaders throughout California and the world. Learn more at perkinscoie.com. And Blue Shield of California, closing the healthcare gap since 1939. Learn more about their commitment to quality and fair healthcare for every Californian at news.blueshieldca.com.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.